So we've been in a series on Bible study. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you some tips, techniques, and some tools to help make a difference in your personal Bible study. And we talked about why it's important to make a difference in that area of your life, because God's Word is amazing. It's just so awesome. The Bible is our source for knowledge, for divine knowledge, divine wisdom, divine insight, divine understanding. It can make the simple wise. Can I get an amen? I love that. It brings life to our soul. It revives our soul. It brings joy and hope to our heart. It gives guidance to righteous living and to peace. And we talked about all that in a little 10-minute capsule at the very, very, very beginning, which kind of got buried a little bit under some study side of things. But that's really the heart of it. I want you to go back and take a look at those notes. Go back and maybe listen just to the first 10 minutes of the first sermon and grab that heart and say, man, this is what we have. We have God's Word, and it does all this for us. Who wouldn't want that? Who doesn't want hope or joy or peace? Who doesn't want divine wisdom and insight and knowledge? It's right there for us. And so my goal this series is to, one, kind of light a little bit of inspiration in each of us to get into God's Word, to study it more, not just to read it, and reading it's great. I'm pushing this. I'm kind of being a coach here to push you to the next level. I want you to go beyond reading. I want you to take a pen or pencil or get on your computer and have a Word document separate, you know, side by side with your Bible software and really study it and really get into it. And so what I wanted to do, I shared with you the very first week, we had a big old message on some tips, techniques, and tools, and I gave you a little sheet. Those sheets are at the Information Center. They're also online. We'll see that on the screen here in a few minutes. I wanted to be able to give that to you to show you some tips, techniques, and tools that you can use. And then from that week forward, what we've been doing is we've been taking different pieces of Scripture, and it's kind of been a live study to show you how to use some of these tips and techniques and tools. And so not only do I want to inspire you, but I want to give you confidence to get into God's Word, because God's Word is so big. It's so powerful. And I know that because of those qualities, it can be very intimidating to go to God's Word, to think, man, how in the world am I going to understand this? I'm just a person, and this is God's Word. And so I want to give you some confidence through these tips and techniques and tools so that you can leave here each Sunday morning of this series and say, I can do that. I can study that way. I can use those techniques. And it will make a difference. And when you make a difference in your personal Bible study time, it will make a difference in your personal life. It will affect your personal life like nothing else will. And from that ripple, as we continue to study through the summer and into the fall, these ripples, the center point, the center impact is so important to those other ripples. And so Bible study, personal Bible study, not just a Sunday morning here, not just a small group, but your time with God in His Word is so very important for your development and to make a difference in who you are. So we'll take a couple quick notes that kind of outline a little bit of where we're headed today. So let's go and write this down. A couple little statements here. The Bible is a collection of the words of God that He wanted to record and preserve for us. It was God's will to have His words recorded and preserved so that we could read them years and years later, so that they would have the power and the impact that it would. It's just an amazing book. It's living and active. It's powerful. It's so powerful it can peer into the depths of your soul to see your thoughts and your attitudes. And we have this powerful, powerful book right here. I mean, this is my Bible anymore. If I want a bigger Bible, I go to that. You get a bigger Bible, I go to my computer screen. It's all the same Bible. But that's what I use anymore. It's amazing that it's available in digital format the way it is, and you can just take it with you anywhere you go. So the second thing I want us to write down here is that the Bible is God's most concrete form of communication to us. The Bible is God's most concrete form of communication to us. No doubt God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. I've been spoken to, I'm sure every Christian in this room has been spoken to by God's Holy Spirit. God will use other people to speak to us. You know, some other people. Sometimes maybe it's me or a teacher on a Sunday morning that God's using to speak to you, or maybe it's a friend or a family member. Sometimes I'm cautious when people come up to me and they say, well, Jesus told me that this is what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, no, Jesus needs to tell me because that doesn't quite sound right to me. But, you know, sometimes that'll happen. But a lot of times you'll see that. We get God speaks to us through other people. God speaks to us through nature. Some people connect with God through nature, and it's something that's completely an unspoken experience. Sitting in a tree stand as the sun comes up in the morning, you know, and there's a connection there that you feel, and God speaks to you there in a way that's just completely nonverbal. Some of you guys get that, and you're like, man, yeah, I've been there. And some other people are like, what? It's okay. If God doesn't speak to you that way, then he doesn't, and he speaks to other people that way, and I assure you he does. There are all sorts of other different ways that God speaks to us and God uses to reach our heart and uses to reach our mind. But of all of those, the most concrete form of communication God has with us is through his word. It's words written, recorded. His words written and recorded, preserved for us to read. I'll hear people say sometimes, well, I just don't hear God speaking to me. When's the last time you opened the Bible? He speaks to you every time you read those words. Those are his words. So we're going to get into that. We're going to look at a famous passage here to get started. Hebrews 4:12, and this is a great, great passage. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So just like last week's passage that we read from as Paul told Timothy that all scripture is God-breathed and useful, this passage is also written before the Bible became the Bible, before the Bible was completely put together. So as we read last week, we were talking about all scripture is God-breathed. We looked at that and we said, okay, what's the background to this? What's the aim? Who can tell me what AIM stands for? Look at you guys. Awesome. Author's intended meaning. Okay. So we look at the author's intended meaning. And we say, okay, all scripture. And last week when we were talking about all scripture, we said, well, all scripture, when Paul was writing to Timothy, that was the Old Testament. It didn't have anything to do with the New Testament at that time. All scripture is God-breathed and useful. But then when we took our contemporary significance, and yes, we can go on and pull that next slide up. This is a sheet that you'll find online in the sermon section. I'm probably going to move it after the series is over to be more accessible. That way you can go straight to our website. Boom. No, you've got a link to go and find this anytime, anywhere, and it'll just be there indefinitely as long as we pay our internet bills. we've got, so this gives you the dig it, the eat it, and the use it. So down in the eat it section, and eat it means to digest it, to take it in, to let it kind of figure out how it fits and works. And that's contemporary significance. So when we're looking at all scriptures God breathed, we look at the aim, we kind of look at the background that it was talking about, the Old Testament scripture, and we say, okay, well now we understand the aim, what's the timeless principle that carries over? Well, if all scripture is God breathed, then now what we have is scripture, is New Testament and Old Testament. Our Bible is scripture now. So does that truth now apply to this, even though Paul was not talking about this? And we decided last week, absolutely it does. So we can say our Bible is God-breathed and useful. And that's how we can connect and get some contemporary significance out of that. So just a quick little review on that last week. So as we're using that same process on this verse, when we look at Hebrews 4:12, the author is not saying all scripture. His words in Hebrews 4:12 is that the word of God. And so we have to kind of define that if we're going to look at AIM, where Paul was telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 that all scripture, okay, so what was all scripture? So when we go to this one in Hebrews 4:12, we say, well, the word of God, or God's word, the word of God, that's how he words it. I had to go back and find that verse in my head. The word of God is living and active. What's the new version? Alive and active is the new version. So we've got the word of God here, and we have to say, okay, well, what was he talking about, the word of God? Was it talking about the old scriptures? Actually, this description kind of opens it up more to any words that have come from God, which would connect with the words from Jesus' teachings and different things there. So we use that same understanding that he's talking about any word that came from God. It's alive, it's active, it penetrates. And so we take that same thing and we say, okay, how does that connect to today and that same timeless principle? So even though he wasn't talking about the Bible, we know that the Bible is God's words that have been recorded for us, preserved for us. And so we say, okay, we can apply Hebrews 4:12 to the Bible because of this timeless principle, that the Bible is God's words. And so God's word is living and active. And so I have no problem at all connecting those passages. The 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture, I have no problem at all saying that means the Bible is God-breathed and is useful. When the Hebrews writer, whoever he or she was, when they wrote this, and they said, because we don't know who wrote Hebrews, when they say that God's word is living and active, then I have no problem as we make contemporary significance from that and bridge the timeless principle that God's words, the Bible, is living and active. So how many of you guys are with me? I'm kind of moving pretty quick through that. No, not many hands. You with me? No? Okay. You're going to have to go and listen to it then, because we're going to have to keep going. So in all that, let me kind of put a little nutshell on that as we progress. I want us to understand that we need to understand contemporary significance, but we can't just jump there just because we think that the Bible speaks and says something to us right off the cuff. Does that make sense? Because a lot of people read something and say, here's what it said to me, here's what it spoke to me. And I get that, but let's look at the aim first. Let's look at the author's intended meaning. You got to dig it first, and then you eat it, okay? You can't just go straight to here and really get the depth out of it that we need to get. So when we go through these two scriptures and we say, okay, here's what this scripture's talking about, the scripture, all scripture in Timothy, and God's word, or the word of God in Hebrews, and we say, okay, we can rightfully apply that to the Bible, but we have to have a process of getting there. You can't just say, yes, this talks about the Bible, because originally it wasn't really talking about the Bible. So we have to be able to explain that and say, okay, why do we know that this is a timeless principle that can carry over? Now, are you with me? Okay, so the importance there of study, of being able to get in there and dig it for yourself and be able to study in and dig a little bit. And so this verse in Hebrews 4:12, it's another passage that would be great to use the technique I shared with you last week. Last week we took the first or 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and we just used a regular dictionary. And we defined, we slowed down, and we looked at specific words that the author chose to use there that Paul chose to share with Timothy, and we just define them. This would be an excellent verse to do that very same thing. So I want to give you guys that. Make a little note in your bulletin. This is your homework this week. Later today, sometime Monday, Tuesday, sometime this week, I want you to sit down with this verse and just a regular dictionary, either online dictionary or a paper dictionary in your house. And I want you to go through and look at these words, that God's word is living or it's alive. Look that word up. We know what it means, but when you pause and you look a word up, it brings a little bit of emphasis. It brings it to the surface a little bit and say, okay. And then I want you to ask yourself, how is God's word this? How does God's word fit this definition? It's alive, it's active. Go look that word up. Get a definition fresh in your head. Look at all the different definitions for active and say, how is God's word this? So that's your homework assignment. Use your technique from last week that we looked at and apply it to this passage. And you know the drill, and I want you to leave here going, I can do that. Can you do that? Yeah, you can do that. You can do it. So today, what I'd like to do is I'd like to share for you another study technique on this verse. It's a tool that's found in your study Bible. So like I shared with you guys last week that I bought the Kindle version of the Life Application Study Bible. This was an old study Bible I've got. This one was from like right before I went to college. But they still print the study Bibles. So some of it's still falling apart. So they still print the study Bibles. And so get a study Bible. If you get the Kindle, my Kindle version was $17. And I've got it everywhere I go. I can have it on here, have it on my tablets, on my computer. It's great. And $17, you get a lot of bang for your buck there when it comes to what's there. And so in your study Bibles and then also online at mywsb.com, that's in the backside of your study tools. It has it listed there. And that's also on the online version. You can get the reader right on there, or you can download Word Search Basic. It's the same program One just sits on your computer, one sits online, and it's accessible through a browser. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a tool called cross-references. Some of you guys are like, I think I know what those are. Some of you guys, I know exactly what cross-references are. Some of you guys are like, is this places in the Bible where it talks about the cross? They're cross-references. So today we're going to be looking at cross-references. Cross-references are a list of scriptures that are attached to a word or phrase in the passage that you're studying that show you other places in the Bible. So this deals with remote context. We were talking about context in section, I think, B of dig it in the aim. You dig it and you get in there and you look at immediate context and you look at remote context. And so cross-references will give us remote context. Sometimes it'll give us immediate context, but oftentimes it's more remote context. So it's other verses, other scriptures, and other places of the Bible that are talking about the same idea or the same concept or using the same words as the little passage that you're studying there. So if you're using a study Bible, a paper study Bible, it'll have footnotes at the bottom. My Kindle version, I've got little notes, and I click it, and it kind of runs me to the footnotes, and I have to click to get back to it. I'm still working with getting familiar with that version of how things work. Here's the online version of this. This is at my WSB. WSB stands for WordSearchBible.com, and there's a downloadable version of this called WordSearch Basic, and it's free. They have versions you can buy. What I use on a regular basis is a few hundred dollars, but it's got a ton of tools in it. But this is the basic, this is the skeleton of where the study tools that I use, so I love it. So here we are in Hebrews 4:12, so we can blow that up. So we'll zoom into that side. And we see here we've got, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So this is the New American Standard Bible version. And then if you see the little squares, they look like little Scrabble pieces. You see them? Those are all footnotes. Those are all references. Some of them will be alternate words that could be used. Most of those are going to be cross-references. And what's really cool about this one is you don't have to go to footnotes or anything. You click those. So if I click those, we go to the next one. It blows them up right there in line. Is that cool? So you're sitting here reading, and you can just click that and open it up, and you've got Jeremiah. And those are actually clickable, too, if I remember right. So I can click Jeremiah 23:29, and it'll go straight there. So we're going to look at these cross-references. We're going to look at these ones there at the top, and then the ones that the one, a couple of them, I think just one from the other section there. So, and the question is, how are these going to give us more depth to this amazing passage? God's word or the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. So what do these have to do with that? So Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces? That's a picture of authority, you know, as we read that. So let's go and write that down. God's word is authoritative. God's word is authoritative. So we go from Hebrews, we run back into the Old Testament, Jeremiah, and we get some remote context there about God's word. Okay, it's powerful, it's authoritative. We go to Ephesians 5:26. This was another one that was listed in those cross-references. And this is talking about husbands and wives, talking about husbands, how they're supposed to treat their wife. And he's talking about how we are to be the leaders, the spiritual leaders of the family. And he talks about the use of God's word in that relationship. So he's talking about to make her holy, to husbands, to make your wife holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the what? Through the word. So here we see another application for God's word. God's word is not only authoritative, God's word's cleansing. God's word cleanses. Sorry, that would be the word to use there. God's word cleanses. Another one of the references there was almost remote context. One of the other references was right there in Hebrews. So Hebrews 4:12, you turn a couple pages over to Hebrews 6, and you read this cross-reference. It says, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age. So just simply, God's word is good. They tasted the goodness of God's word. God's word is good. The word of God is good. And then we would see another reference there in that little list of cross-references that would take us to 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. So God's word, it gives us new birth. God's word gives us new birth. So God's word is living and active. How's it living and active? Well, it's authoritative. It is the authority on everything for us as Christians. How's God's word living and active? It cleanses us. It washes us. We're being washed with his word. How's God's word living and active? Well, it gives us new birth. If it was a dead book, how could it give us new birth? But since it's living and active, it can absolutely follow through with that promise. It gives us new birth. God's word is just plain good. It's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So you see how these cross references give us a little more depth to that passage? And you can do that. There's no, you know, fairy dust of God up here, no magic dust, no nothing. It's just taking some scriptures in a study Bible, looking them up, or if you're online, it's just a simple click and it'll bounce you around to them. And so you look at these, you look and read those, and you sit back and you say, talking about being washed with the water through the word. What does that mean? Well, it means it cleanses us. It washes us. How does that apply to God's word being living and active? And you start making these connections. Jeremiah is saying, my word's authoritative. It crushes rocks. And you say, wow, that's powerful. And then you read, you know, God's word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it penetrates. It judges the attitude of my heart. I need to be careful. Because it's authoritative, and when it gets in there and starts judging, because some of the things in there aren't so good. But God's word is good. It's good for us. It's goodness. So we read these things, and it gives us more depth. And this is something you can do. You have the tools, and you have the ability. And so you can take your Bible study from just reading the Bible in the morning or reading your Bible at night to really getting into it and studying it so that you can meditate on these things. And that part right there, that alone, you can take that from a Monday morning and you can go through the rest of your day thinking about that. How's God's word authoritative? How's God's word cleansing me? How's God's word just good? And you can start answering some of those things as you meditate on it through the day. And that makes such a big impact on your personal Bible study, and that'll make an impact on your personal life, that'll make an impact on how you treat and how you lead and how you work with your family, that'll make a difference in how you are at work, that'll make a difference in how you're in society, all from this little impact, all these ripples. So it's a two-edged sword. One of the references on that was Ephesians 6:17, and this would take you to the armor of God, where it says that take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so this is a piece of the armor of God. And in the armor of God, all the armor is defensive, and the sword is the offensive part. And we put that together with this understanding that from Hebrews 4:12, that it penetrates and it judges. Let's write that down. God's word penetrates and judges. It's an offensive weapon, and it's a weapon. It penetrates, it judges. So we're going to use this technique on another verse, and we're just going to look at a couple of the verses here, and then I want to hit a couple of other techniques today before we close out. This is a verse that was submitted by Jim and Brenda Pennington, and so I'm taking verses, and we still have this last week. Next week will be the last week, so you can cry at 12 o'clock tomorrow, or at 12 o'clock next week at this time, and just go back and re-listen and learn as much as you can about the tools, techniques, and stuff. I'm hoping this is going to be something that's going to make a big difference in your personal Bible study time. So they had submitted John chapter 1, verse 1, and it just fit perfectly with Hebrews 4:12. So we're going to read this, but we're going to go to the screenshot here from the WSB.com, so mywsb.com/reader. So John 1:1, we have our little, you know, cross-reference buttons there. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we just read that one verse, and we say, okay, well, what are some cross-references here? So I just blew them all up. So we've got all these. And so I'm just going to pick a few here. So we've got Genesis 1:1. What in the world does this have to do with Genesis 1:1? We're going to find that out. And then I saw Revelation there, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of, Interesting. One, Revelation has the same author, John. Well, I mean God, but John, the same earthly author. John wrote the book of John, and John also wrote Revelation. So what connection do we have here? Also, Revelation is the end of the Bible. And then I saw we have John 1:14, which is right there. It's just 14 verses down from verse 1. So let's look at those three, just kind of near and far, little Grover thing there. So Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, whoa. See that? So John 1:1, what did it say? In the beginning. Genesis 1:1. Light bulbs can go off in your bedroom or in your, you know, at your office, at your dinner table in the morning or whatever, as you go to these cross references and you look at that verse side by side with John and you say, these are worded exactly the same. I wonder if John did that on purpose. And I believe he does. And a lot of commentators believe that he did that on purpose. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So John wanted to make sure that we had a very clear connection from the beginning of his gospel to the beginning of the Old Testament. So let's write this down. The gospel is a new beginning. And that's what you can take away from that cross-reference. Here's the beginning of the Old Testament, and then here we have the beginning of the New Covenant, the New Testament. And John would have been a very fitting book to be the first book in the New Testament, starting off like that. But for other reasons, and I completely agree with him, it is the fourth book. But if this would have been just the opening line in the New Testament, that would have been really neat to see the parallel to the Old Testament there. So Genesis 1:1, John clearly wanted to make a direct connection to this reference in Genesis, that in the beginning. And we find that just by looking at a cross-reference, just by seeing something and going, I wonder why that's there. I wonder why the study Bible guys put Genesis 1:1 here. And you go there, you see that similarity, and that starts making you think. And as you meditate on it through the day, you're like, in the beginning. Wow, that's kind of neat how he's saying this is the beginning of it's a new beginning when Jesus came. And he kind of made all things new. And so then we go to John 1:14. I went to that one because it's real close. So we get some kind of immediate context. And it says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh. This expounds a little bit on this idea that the Word was God, the Word was with God. He says the Word came down, the Word became flesh. So we get this, and we kind of get a very potent little note here that the Word and Jesus are the same. The Word. And so when we have the Word of God, that's a description of God himself. It's not just a collection of his words for us. It's a capture of himself. As Jesus came to earth, John calls him the Word, became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. Then in Revelation, I want to do kind of a run-up to this one. The cross-reference had verse 13, but I wanted some context, some immediate context on that. So back up in verse 11 of chapter 19 in Revelation. It says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. No doubt the rider is Jesus on the white horse in this passage in 19. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. And he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the what? Word of God. That's the end of the whole Bible right there. Chapter 19 of Revelation. So let's write this down. The Word of God, he is the Word. Jesus is the Word of God today and will be when he returns. So just in looking at three little cross references here in 1 John, we have ventured from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 19, and then right here, right by John 1:1 and John 1:14, to see how this is very connected. And Jesus being the Word in the beginning, he created a new beginning when he came, but he was in the beginning. And then here we see that he came, and then in Revelation we see that he is going to come, and he's still bearing the name Word of God. He is and he will be that. And so that helps us to get a more in-depth view of that. So now the next time, I guarantee you, the next time you read John 1:1, you're going to be thinking about that. You're going to read those words in the beginning and you're going to remember, oh yeah, that's the first words in Genesis. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then hopefully you'll be able to connect that also to Revelation. Say, you know what? This is how he's going to come back. He didn't just come in the gospel as the Word. He's going to be coming in the second coming as the Word of God. It's just a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. There's another tool that we're not going to spend time on today, and it is the Knaves Topical Study Bible. You can buy a copy of that. You can go online, and the free version is not as easy to navigate as I'd like, so we can go on to the next one. So this is where it's at. It's at BibleGateway.com, and you can go to the Knaves Topical. The search doesn't work so well. I tried to do a search there, and it didn't give me what I was looking for, even though it is a topic of theirs. So instead of doing the search Word of God, I went to W. I clicked W so we can go to the next screen. So then it brings you up all these different subjects with W. So I had to go to page 3 to find Word of God. See it down there, number 65? Word of God. And so I was like, hey, that's a topic. That's a subject. So I clicked that, and here's what you get when you click that. You get all these references. And what's really neat, and this I shared with you I think 2 weeks ago, about how cool the topical study is, it'll grab verses that don't have the words Word of God. So if I were doing a word search, which we're going to talk about that at the very end today, if I were doing a word search and I searched Word of God in the Bible, it would pull up scriptures that talk about the Word of God. Knaves Topical Study or other topical study Bibles like this, Thompson Chain, I think, is another one that's similar to this. It'll grab you places that talk about that subject that might not use those exact words. So, for instance, like 8 through 23 there, where it says called book. So you go to those places, Word of God's not there, but it's called book, and it's referring to the Word of God. So this expands your ability to get cross-references and get remote context. Called the Book of the Lord, called the Book of the Law, called Good Word of God, called Holy Scriptures, called Law of the Lord, called Oracles of God, called Scriptures, called Scriptures of Truth, called Sword of the Spirit, called the Word of God. So it's got all these different words there, or these different ways that it's referenced. And so you can go there and you can just have a big old party for weeks going and looking at all these different verses that are scattered throughout the Bible, and getting more depth and more understanding into whatever passage you started with. If it was Hebrews 4:12, or if it was John 1:1, where it talks about the Word, and you go here and you say, Word of God, where else does it talk about this subject? So I'll leave you guys with that tool. Get in there, kind of get curious about it, play with it. Get in and kind of see how it works, and those are really, really fun. So let's progress on to contemporary significance. We talked about this a little bit. I don't want to leave this section and let it go. I want you guys to constantly be reminded of what this is. In the contemporary significance section, we look for timeless principles and we look for parallel life situations. So when we're talking about God's word being authoritative, when we went back to Jeremiah 23, we say God's word's authoritative. How's that a timeless principle? Was that just in Jeremiah? Is God's word still authoritative? Yes, absolutely. So if God's word says something about sexuality, is that authoritative today just as when it was written? Yes. No matter what's going on around us, and it's just we're in crazy times right now. I'm beside myself with what's going on in our society. My wife and I were just talking on the road the other day, and I was like, I would have never dreamed I'd be hearing the different things I'm hearing about sexuality and about what's accepted and what's okay and what's being forced as being, you know, accepted and okay. Christians, God's word is the authority for us. That's where we go. We don't go to our governors or our president or our society or people around us. We love them. We accept them. We treat them with kindness and grace. I'm not saying anything against that, but it doesn't mean that I take their doctrine and accept it as mine. God's word is my authority. And when we read that and we get in there, and so I don't have time to get off on subjects there, but when we take those timeless principles and we apply them, we can't just say, oh, well, this was nice for the author's intended meaning. We do have to apply that. We have to digest it. We have to eat it and say, okay, what does this mean right now? What does this mean here? And we have to progress to that third one, which is use it. And that is to put it into practice. So let's look at grammar and context. We'll hit these quickly. Grammar and context. We've talked a little bit about this, and I've brought this verse before you before. So we're going to Romans 3:23 and look at grammar real quick. So Romans 3:23, let's go into the verse. All right, English police dear, grammar police, where's the grammatical error there? I brought this verse before you before. Fall, yeah, fall. Yeah, so sin is what? Past tense. Fall is what? Present. It's present infinitive, but we're not going to get into that because I'm confining myself this month to only the tools that I'm sharing with you. So I'll leave my other tools aside for this month. But you can see it right there, just reading it and paying attention to the grammar. This doesn't work. This grammar is incorrect. But the sentence is correct, isn't it? It's pretty amazing. So we read that verse, and so we get some grammar out of it. We're like, and you can feel awful miserable just reading that verse. Wow, we've all fallen. We've all sinned, and we are continually falling ourselves short of God's glory. That's a miserable thought. Well, so we look at grammar. We also look at context. You got to bring context into it. If you keep reading and you get to Romans 6:23, let's go and write that down. So in the grammar, all have sinned and fall short. So we're making note of the grammatical, the tense difference there, the tense disagreement. So then we go on to context and we go to Romans 6:23, and these just go so well together. For the wages of sin is death. Now it's getting even worse. We've all sinned, and we continue to fall ourselves short of God's glory. And so what have we earned? We've earned death. And then there's a three-letter word that I've shared with you guys that I love in Scripture. But God's gift, or but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, if you just stayed in Romans 3 and you didn't get to Romans 6, you'd miss this context of seeing the beauty of these verses coming together. Yes, we need to know Romans 3:23, that I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all sinned. Everyone's equal playing field there. We've all sinned, and we all will continue to fall short of God's glory, no matter how great of a person you are, no matter how many times you attend church, no matter how many great deeds you do for other people or whatever, you're still going to fall short of God's glory. But you got to read that in context with Romans 6. The beauty of this is you're never going to earn it. That's Romans 3:23. You're never going to earn a right into heaven. Romans 6:23 says, here's how you get to heaven. Here's the gift. It's a gift. It's for free. It's given to you. So let's write this down as we take some emphasis on this. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ, in Jesus. And one little tool, I'm going to give you guys a moment to write that down. That's four words. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And if you missed that, you've got the verse reference, so you can go to it. So one last tool. I want to show you guys about a word search. I had someone call me, and this literally was just a couple weeks ago. And I didn't mind it. I love helping people out, especially when it comes to Bible stuff. That's a passion of mine. And so someone called me up and they say, Dusty, I'm trying to find this story about such and such. Where is it? I can't find it anywhere. And so I helped them find it and said, oh, here it is. It's in Matthew such and such. And they're like, oh, thank you so much. You know, and just went on their way. And so those phone calls are wonderful. I love them. They're simple and easy, and there's an answer, and it's black and white, boom. So that was, but they came to me, and so I used some of my search tools. This search, so we can, wait. We have to fix, I have to explain this. So we're going to go to the Word Search Bible. That's got an online version and a downloadable version that you can go to. We've already seen it on the screen today. But you can go there and you can do a word search. And I want to explain some of the things you can do here. And sometimes I'm an idiot. Sometimes I read words and I never hear them pronounced. So I mentioned this word that when you do a capital A-N-D, I said that's a bowline, and it's bowline. Did I have the, I had the second part right then, right? Bowline. So, okay. So it's a bowline command. So I've never heard it said. I've always just read it. And so in my head, it's always been the other. So if you capitalize, and you can use and, or, near, I couldn't get near quite to work with that, but I know it works with the software. So I'm thinking if you download it, near would work a little better. And then what's the other one you have in your bulletin there? But, what? No, what is it? They're right in your bulletin. For, or, did I get or? So, and or not was the one I was missing, and near. So you can use those bowline, that's a cow, isn't it? So So anyway, so you use that, and what it does is it looks for any place where word and save show up in the same verse, anywhere, if they show up in the same verse. So you can do that search. You can do or. So if you want to look for Jesus or God, you're going to pull up like a bazillion verses. But if you're looking for, you know, I don't know if it said thirsty or hungry, you can look thirsty or hungry, and you can find the verse that is a reference for that. So you can do that. You can do not. You can say, I want to find all the places where it talks about the word, but I don't want the ones where it says God's word. So you can do word, not God's, if you're looking for a specific scripture. So those are the way you can use those type search commands. And then the other thing on the end of this, save with an asterisk. That's a wild card search. So when you do that, what it'll look for is any word that starts with those four letters, anything after that added to it. So when I was looking for this, I thought, okay, I know a scripture talks about how God's word saves us, or does it say is it saved? So I did a wild card search that which would capture save, saved, saves, because anything after what I put, if I put an asterisk there, anything after that, it'll add in there too. Does that make sense? So we go to the word search, so we go to my wsb.com/reader, or you download it, and so we go here and we type in word, capital A-N-D, save with a wild card, hit the little search thing over here. So the search tool is the magnifying glass up there, and then you hit the little magnifying glass over here to activate that, and it will bring this up. It says found in 7 instances, and so there's one in Joshua, one in Luke, one in Acts. When I saw Corinthians, I was like, I thought it was one of Paul's letters, and when I got it and opened up, and so I clicked the X, and it turned into a minus, which opened up the verses in Corinthians. I saw 1 Corinthians 15, and I said, that's the one I was looking for. So that's how you do a search. So you can find things and play with it. Get in there and just mess with it. Don't be afraid. You're not going to break it. Just get in there and play with it and learn to use these tools. Let me read you this verse that I found through that that I wanted to share with you today. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 2, it says, and it's not on the screen, I'm just going to read it to you. Now, I made known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. The Bible, the gospel, where we find salvation. You know, the Bible is a collection of words of God. God breathed words that God wanted, that God willed, that God purposed, that God in his power left. He recorded them for us. He preserved them for us. The Bible is God's most concrete form of communication. And we should be in it. And it should be in us. It should be on our hearts, on our mind. We should study it. We should meditate on it. We should use it to put his words into action. God's word is living and active. It is the highest level of authority in our lives. It cleanses us. It's just plain good. It gives us new birth. It penetrates, judging our thoughts and our attitude. God captured himself in these words. Jesus is in this. In the Word. He is the Word. He was with God and he was God in the beginning. And as we read, we know that we've all fallen short. We've all sinned and we continue to do so. But the beauty of it is that grace is a gift from God, and we read about that in the Word. We read about his love, his grace, his mercy. And that his grace is bigger than any of our follies, that his mercy is stronger than any sin. We learn about these things as we read, and we see that God's word has the power to save us. You have the tools, you have the ability to get in and really uncover and really absorb and take in this amazing book. So please, let me encourage you. Let me just light a fire under you to get involved in personal Bible study and watch how that changes all the ripples out from that point. We have this book, and we have tons of tools and techniques to be able to get into it. So don't let it sit. Don't let it collect dust. Don't download, don't pay for the Kindle and just let it sit on your tablet. Get into it, read it, study it.